Spacey is a global co-working and conference community. We've had our fingers on the pulse of co-working since 2012, and we've connected thousands of operators, both in person and online. On the Juicy Podcast, we talk with the people making it happen day in and day out. Let's get to it. Okay, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are. Welcome to the Juicy Podcast. I am super excited to have Christine Wyckoff of Cushman Wakefield with us this morning. She's the Director of Enterprise Sales and Partnerships. And Christine, if you've listened to any of my podcasts, you know the first question already, which is, how are you as a human being, not how is your job?
Liz, thank you for having me. Super excited to be here. I know it's been a while since we have connected, so love to be on this podcast. And for a Monday, I'm doing pretty darn well. I'm okay. Things are going well. Life is well. Work is excellent. I love what I do. I have fun every day. So I thank my lucky stars. I'm grateful every day for all that I have. So
oh, I love that. Stay one of my practices. Positive. Yeah, go ahead.
No,
yeah,
just that's awesome. Stay positive through any type of adversity, which is what I think we can all reflect is happening in the universe right now. So what can I do to keep a smile on my face every day?
I love it. I love it. Yeah. One of my practices that I don't do super consistently, but I always have a better day when I do a gratitude list. And I usually just send a list of what I'm grateful for to a friend and ask them, like, what about you?
Yeah.
And it's a good way to like start your day being thankful for what you have. Cause I don't know about you, but I'm super lucky.
Me too. And I think we're both lucky, but we worked really hard to get to where we are. So we've earned everything 100%. We've got. We've earned everything we've got. And I think with age, I've become more conscious of being grateful. And shifted like my mental, like what makes me happy, what makes me feel empowered. It's different now than it was in another decade. So it's fun. I guess it's fun to be older in this workplace, in the co-working
you
sector.
You know what?
Everything is that people are a little younger.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. So your role is unique at Cushman & Wakefield. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do and what your goals look like?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's a little bit of a wild story, right? So
yeah, let's hear it.
The Flex platform at Cushman & Wakefield is a platform of services that support tenant rep brokers, our global occupier accounts through their different account teams. And within that umbrella, when I first started, you know, there was someone on the strategy side, there's brokers delivering the solutions, there was a team leader, there was someone on the asset side, but there wasn't anyone having the dialogue internally about Flex services, who we are, what we did, and what we can do to help support your occupiers. So that's really where my job evolved and why I came on board was to help these folks understand that, you know, Flex is part of an occupier's real estate portfolio. It's 100% integrated. Most of them already knew this, but what they weren't tapping into is the tools and resources that we were building. So it was my job to really network internally and talk to as many occupier clients as I could and getting to them through colleagues, right? And creating a name for myself and a name for the platform so that we could be, I always say, like, I'm the best supporting actress. I don't lead any accounts. We don't go after new business outside of the Cushman umbrella. We're always sitting with someone else who leads the account. So networking internally to help them understand what we can do. And then over time, it just evolved as the sector evolved and as our practice got larger and as demand grew. So now I'm leading the Flexible Office Services platform internally. As a company, it's getting bigger. There's some Flex leadership in London and that team is growing. There's a Flex leadership team in India, which is also getting started and growing. And then also in APJ in Singapore. So we're really, it's an evolving platform in a very positive way.
So I'm very fascinated by this. I have two questions. One is, what is the platform? And then the second one is, it's really interesting to me because I know a lot of your competitors have just either laid off their kind of Flex teams, or they've just gotten rid of them altogether. And you guys seem to be thriving on the other hand. So I'm curious as to what you might attribute that to.
I believe it's our strategy, Liz. And our strategy was to support the occupiers and the brokers that we have here at the organization. So because we weren't going after, I don't prospect. No one on our team prospects for new business. So we're just playing the supporting role internally so that if anyone has a question, a tenant rep broker, and no question is too small, there's from the agency leasing team, there's questions, especially with the turnover of all these different brands and takeovers. So I think what led us to be a different level of success is that it's a platform of services to help support the folks that are here. And I know I keep saying that, but I think when you take that, you know, I'm their partner, right? I don't compete. Mm-hmm. I follow their lead. I want to bring them tools that help their occupier clients execute on the strategy that perhaps, and in most cases, Cushman & Wakefield has helped them create. So we're the execution tool in many cases of a hybrid strategy and helping support that. And I think when you approach it, that I'm not a broker. So everything I do, everything I sit on, and I, depending on my audience, I could say I'm free. I'm a free resource. And I think that that's what's led me to have success with being, you know, sitting with these top brokers, because mm-hmm. I respect the relationship. I follow their lead and I'm supporting what they need to get done. So it's no and it's a competition factor. I think that's when you erase that, that changed everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And then is the platform, is it software? Is it an app or is it services?
It's service
like,
related.
Can I point to it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. I wish, right? Maybe someday. So there's some services. So there's the brokerage services. There's flex portfolio management. There's flex transaction management. I would say as time goes on, I'd love to see it evolve into a bigger technology platform. But I think that, mm-hmm. that's dependent on the sector to help build that and help aggregate that data. So we're service oriented. It's an advisory position and it keeps me busy, you know, minimum of 40 hours a week. And the brokers who are doing the flex deals, the two brokers in the US who are only doing flex transactions, they're spinning out like 250 plus deals a year. So we're a high volume, fast moving group.
Love it. Love it. And then how do you define flex and how is flex different from co-working?
When I talk about flexible working, I'm approaching it from a holistic point of view. So flexible working is giving the employee the optionality to work from anywhere that they can be successful. So under the umbrella, let's say, of flexible working, that's your home office, that's your corporate office, that's a hub office. Oh, and also, by the way, it can be a co-working solution. It can be a serviced office, or it can be event space. That's where my sweet spot is, right? But flexible working itself, as it's evolving, and it's been evolving now for the past couple of years, and where I believe it's headed, is really all about giving employees the right to choose to be work somewhere to be successful. And that's what kind of, when you dig into what we do as an organization with other vertical markets, there's a lot of strategy behind that and portfolio teams behind that. So it's a broader topic for us than just the flex, than just the serviced office co-working sector.
Yeah. And then it sounds like, you know, it's funny, my next question was, how is business? But I think you've already answered that. I mean, it's got to be good if you're expanding across the globe.
It's good. I think that other markets realize that we needed the expertise, and it's better left to, not all brokers want to do flex transactions. Some of them are fantastic. You know, I mean, there is something to be said about, you know, a local market broker walking you through a tour. I mean, there is a ton of value for the right occupier. I think it's just something that we've pride ourselves on, best in class customer service. So we're fast on response. We've built a good reputation internally. And I think as these other teams pop up, they're emulating a lot of what we've created here in the US as far as workflow and output and just really partnership. And I think just approaching it differently, again, not being a broker, gives me a lot of ways to maneuver through a large organization without causing conflict.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I know you're talking to a ton of occupiers, and I know everyone listening to this is going to want to hear this, but what are the like top couple of things that people are looking for today? Because, you know, we've all seen all the articles. We know that the office market is, you know, headed towards a correction. So what are people saying they need right now?
It's interesting. They need support in putting together a hybrid strategy that they're able to manage and quantify. So the biggest, here's the flex sector. We know we can execute hybrid strategies in flex. We know that there's technologies to do it. There's ways to buy it. There's management tools that can support it. There's a plethora of things that can support that. Where I see the bottleneck in bringing more business to the flex sector is companies still struggling with what's the strategy and how do we implement it and who implements it and how do we address all the hot buttons that we've got right now, right? So we hire people we hired people where we don't have any brick and mortar. We have shut down locations, right? We've shut down locations and these people are now working. What do we, you know, what's the strat? How do we do this? What's our go-to-market strategy? So that's where I think once that sorts itself out over time, I think the flex sector is going to holistically get more business. But we're still struggling with that back and forth. You know, you hear these return to office, some are mandates, some are remote first, but really on the back end, they're just trying to figure it out. And that's kind of the role that we play. You know, this is a tool to execute on a strategy. I just am looking forward to times when there's more decisions being made that will impact the flex sector and bring more business.
And which part of the occupier business is generally tasked with figuring out how to manage and quantify their hybrid strategy? Is it HR? Is it the CEO? Is it the real estate group? Who's generally coming to you and saying, how do we do this?
On the bigger companies, it's still
the
real estate teams, right?
And on the medium-sized?
They're more different titles under HR. People, officers.
New innovative titles.
Yeah. Yes. They're very pretty, right? But more from the HR side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's a mix of both. But the traditional companies, let's say the Fortune 500, it's still real estate tasked with implementing, you know, how do you execute on the hype, on this strategy? What are the ideas?
And you know, and what is holding them back? Like it seems, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. And I understand, I used to work in corporate America a long time ago. I worked at Dell. So I understand how convoluted and, you know, slow large corporations can be. But I think it's like, to me, it's also like not that hard. Like you shed some office because people aren't coming in and it doesn't make sense. And you give people that you've hired because they're smart, the option to work where works best for them, whether that's home or a flexible space or a co-working space or whatever. And maybe you do a little less of the office and maybe you do a little more retreat. Like, what is the big conundrum here?
I think it's a mix of they don't know what to do. And humans being humans, they're trying to solve for something that they really don't know how it's going to end. Meaning, you know, you go into some of these programs thinking, okay, everyone wants to come in because they want to be in a private office, right? Turns out, no, they're not buying private offices. They're buying meeting rooms. So I think it's a little bit of a fear. They're still working through it and they don't.
Yeah.
It's easier to push the decision out in some cases. I wish I had that crystal ball. Because boy couldn't we solve a lot of I don't know.
I know.
It's and I don't want to say they're really talking about it. Like I think there's like this I see things from a different lens being on this side of the fence. You know, these are conversations happening all the time, you know, or the people ask me, well, how has another tech company done it? What have you heard? And you know, I'll share things like, well, if there's pods of 5 to 10 people in particular market, then we're going to start talking about a flex solution. Like, so different, as granular as that statement is, like people are looking to hear that, you know, what's everybody else doing?
Juicy is heading to Manchester. Who said the capital should have all the fun? We had to share the love with the north of England. Join us in the UK on June 6th and 7th for Juicy Manchester. We'll have a 2-day program where the vibrant cityscape meets co-working innovation surrounded by Manchester's iconic red brick buildings. Did you know that Manchester is not only famed for its culture and rich music scene, but its symbol for the past 250 years is the worker bee, representing a city that was built from the ground by its hardworking people. How many will you be able to spot? We invite you to join our community for a real-time co-working and hospitality experience in the heart of this dynamic city. Manchester, with its pioneering spirit and thriving co-working scene, is the perfect backdrop for Juicy UK. For more information on Juicy Manchester, head to uk.juicy.co. And don't forget, Juicy UK returns to London in October 2014. Speakers and more to come. See you there.
By the way, also thank you, because I've totally gone off script and am just curious. So I'm diving down and you're rolling with the punches. So I appreciate that.
It's fun. No, I love talking about it. So if I talk too much, you may stop me at any time.
Not at all. Well, but it's okay. So next thing that's not on script, but everyone knows I don't really follow script. The meeting rooms you bought up. So one of the things that we've definitely seen is a big increase in people wanting meeting rooms. And then one of the things we saw happen that I'm curious how you guys are seeing it, because I think you feel with a lot of much larger clients is like before the pandemic, everybody was building suites and they're like, look, here's a 50-person suite. And we've put two offices inside and a team room and some phone booths. And those are now sitting empty. And everybody is out of 1- and 2-person offices. Are you seeing the same thing? And what do you think is, I mean, I think the meeting thing's obvious, but what do you think is driving this demand for the tiny office versus the big collaborative office, if you're seeing the same thing?
We're still doing some deals on, let's call the enterprise solutions, the enterprise suite. And those types of deals have replaced traditional space, whether it be they downsized out of it or they were going to take, for whatever reason, we're still doing some of those deals. But what we're really doing is smaller clusters of offices where employees are hybrid within that space. So if they're taking 10 desks, they're taking 10 desks, but they want to float 20 people throughout those offices.
Yeah.
Which isn't really anything new. I mean, that's not new, but it's something that we see. We're not doing a 1-to-1 desk ratio when we sell a flex space now.
Right.
So I think it's actually great. I think it's smart, right? If we could figure out, you know, with flex, the beauty is, and I've said this before, you can only be wrong for 30 days, right? A month later, you do a month-to-month agreement, you can only be wrong for 30 days. That's the risk I bring to the table. We can make a mistake for 30 days and we can clean it up. But to test out some of these different ideas, you know, desk sharing, which sounds so simple, right? But not everyone was doing it.
I love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, did that answer your question? I may have gone off
script. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay, so what is it that we from the like co-working world can learn from your work to better inform our industry?
One of the missing pieces that I'm asked for is more information and more data on utilization trends coming out of tertiary markets. So forget about the CBDs, and that's where I think the local providers, or let's say the smaller companies that maybe have less than 50 locations, they're really important in this ecosystem of flex, like beyond. In fact, I think they're more important than some of the bigger brands because they're everywhere, right? So as things expand and we're really doing deals outside of CBDs, it's that local company. So I'm always looking for insights and data to help understand and help the clients understand what trends are going on in a specific market, how their space is being used. It's a tall ask, right? And it's sometimes I say these things and I get looks back like I'm crazy, but that's what I'm at, you know, that's what I would love to see. And like I see things posted on LinkedIn about, oh, you know, flex makes you, it keeps employees happy and keeps them at your company. Prove it. I need proof. Show me the statements I see that are out there, prove it. Because if you tell someone like me and you can prove it to me and then I can have that dialogue, that's pretty powerful. But I just see a lot of pretty marketing things. Prove it. I hate to say that, but like, and I'm not not in a challenging way, but like I'm an advocate of the industry. So the more information I have is better. So
yeah, we see it's interesting because we don't have a co-star of co-working.
Yes. Who's going to build that list? How do we get someone to build that?
Well, I'll tell you who's after it is Instant. Instant is after it. But, you know, basically all the aggregators and now most of the co-working software providers like an Office R&D or a Yardi are also providing data. Yeah. So I do think we're working towards it. It is interesting because everybody's kind of afraid that what happened to the travel industry could happen to the co-working industry and that somebody could come in and just kind of be the Expedia of co-working. And so there's a big trust issue in providing data. So I think that's part of the problem. I think the good news is if you are looking for those smaller operators, I think one of the good ways to find them is on aggregator sites like Dasana, like DeskPass, like Liquid Space, all those guys. Like that's oftentimes how I do it. Google searches are also super effective in finding co-working spaces. So they're out there. But yes, sometimes you do have to do a little bit of search. But I think we are years away and maybe never on getting super comprehensive data because the industry changes so quickly. For instance, Japan is a really hard place to get data out of because of the way that the real estate market works. So a co-working space can open one day and close the next. So it's just, it's interesting. I've talked to a couple of different research companies about trying to do it through Juicy. And I've literally, unless somebody wants to write me a giant check, I can't do it. So FYI, if anyone out there would like me to write a giant check, I will hire a research company that's done. But I'm not doing it on my own.
And Liz, the tool could be, I think, like, wouldn't it be lovely to have an Expedia of sorts for Flex? We can't be afraid of technology.
But I'm not sure it would be good for the co-working brands. Like, I like what, like, FlexSpace AI is trying to beef up everybody's e-commerce solutions so that an Expedia type thing can't come in. I'm not sure if it's great for the industry.
I think it's good if you're sitting in your home office and you're trying to find someone's space in Vancouver. You've never been to Vancouver, and I want to find that local brand. I need to, and you know, this, we have to think about scale, right? So, like, how do you scale this industry? So I want to be able to find something in Vancouver sitting at my home office in Florida, like, easily. I don't want to do a lot of work because I have to move fast
use one of the aggregators or Google it. It's not hard.
You can't do that at scale. So if you're so high volume that using Google is not scalable. So technology would be helpful for a lot of people.
I have a feeling you're going to get a lot of phone calls after this, Christine.
I hope so. I don't know. I think there's someone doing it out there that's going to be like, Christine, you want to test it with me? And I'm going to be like, yes, because it's really listening.
Well, now you're going to get more phone calls.
But here's the basics of it. I think a little bit like I take baby steps. I just want to know you exist. I want to know your phone number. I want to know how to bring you a piece of business. You don't have to give me what offices are sellable. That I understand is still a mind, like a shift in minds, right? Like, a lot of providers don't want to show that maybe they're only 50% occupied to either a broker or to others, right? So how about if we just started very basic? Let's make it just a co-star listing, something like a co-star. I just want to know you're there and that you're flex space. And that, let's say, and let's be real, that you compete with WeWork. Like, I'm looking for those other brands. So I think over time, maybe I'll be retired by the time that happens. The Expedia of Flex. I'd love to see it, Liz, but I can't work that many more years. I think you're right. I think we're like a decade away from anyone even considering participate. I hope not.
I don't know. With AI, I think it's coming faster.
I hope so. It would help us do more deals better and faster, truly.
Mm-hmm.
And it would help. The brokers could take on more business. Until that time, Flex is, I'll give you an example, and we're a little off script, but I'll just tell you that for every Flex requirement, because we've counted, for every Flex requirement we receive, let's say the client narrows it down to 5 unique providers to get information from. Each of those 5 providers will email the originating broker 5 times. So start to do the math on the volume of emails and back and forth and back and forth, when really if they could just give us the basics, or if I could just get my hands on the basics the first time, it would streamline things for on the broker side for sure. And that, so imagine every, and I told you we do over 250 deals a year. So start, the guys who actually, their email inboxes are blown up. Like, you can't even imagine. So that would be that's my wish for the sector.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So what question should I have asked you that I did not? And then you get to answer it.
So I was thinking about this. I was like, what don't I get asked? But I think you've asked me a lot of great questions. I think the biggest challenge that we have in trading in the flex sector, I think it's like a little bit of a misnomer that brokers, they do flex deals. Obviously, it's not their biggest bread and butter, but we take it seriously when an occupier asks for our help. And the platform that we have, it's a programmatic approach. It's kind of runs like a machine with SLAs, everything from it's like a tight inside sales team, right? And I just think that all the providers know that, like, like I said, with the volume, like, yeah, we do reach out to you for a lot of information, and someone's getting the business, it's not you all the time, but they are real requirements. Our conversions have increased. So I'm not out there benchmarking, because I already have ways to benchmark without having to make calls to providers. So I'm not wasting their time either, because I want to be respectful of those relationships that we have. So I would just say the question would be, help us get the information as quick as possible so we could get in the hands of the occupier and bring you the business? Like, what else? Think about, you know, what else you could do to help us, because we are your partner. And I know that there's commissions exchange, but, you know, we have some great relationships and there's some amazing brands that we know of that others don't, right? I mean, even in the local market, I'm like, have you seen XYZ company? And they're like, I never heard of them. And I'm thinking to myself, they are, you know, old school customer service oriented, fantastic experience for your occupier. You need to bring them business. So that's a totally off script, but I just wanted to kind of share that with your community.
That's great. And, you know, we just had Kane Wilmont from IQ Offices up in Canada on stage at Juicy. And, you know, it's so funny. I've been to visit him a couple of times because we did Juicy Canada last year. And he was always running to these very prepared broker events that they were doing at IQ Office. So he was always personally running. And he really makes a business out of having great broker relationships. Yeah. And his business does very well.
I'm sure he's got a great, you know, he's on the ball and he's got a great product. And that's why he grabs those big names that he's got. I mean, there's a reason why he's on every proposal and why he probably closes. His conversion rate, I'm sure, is quite high. There's a reason why. So, he's a good, but we've brought him business. So shout out to Kane. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Shout out to Kane. Yeah. You're awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. We have just a couple of minutes left. What are you most excited about for the future of Flex and co-working and work in general?
I'm so excited to see how this shakes out with these hybrid office strategies, because I really think the flex sector is going to explode. And I think that once we can really put some programs together to help occupiers support it, I'm excited to see how this ends, because I think there's more business headed our way. And I think there'll be more opportunity for new locations to open up, new types of brands, differentiate the sector. So I'm really excited to watch this grow. I think I saw some data where, you know, the overall number of the flex sector grew by about 6%. 23 into 24, which is great. You know, considering everything that's going on and the companies that we know are shutting down locations, that's a solid number. So I'm excited about that. And what I like about this industry is that really the people who work in it love it. And I think there's a lot of passion. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of passion behind it, at least with the brands that are involved with your groups and different groups. I mean, there's something to be said when you're working for someone who's like an entrepreneur, who like has really put their heart and soul into their business center. And that comes across to the end users. So I'm excited about that. I want to see it grow and keep going and, get more spaces into these big assets, right? And really talk about, you know, amenitizing the space and what technology overlap can help enable that. I mean, there's just so much, I think there's so many different places we're going to go.
Yeah. And, you know, since you lobbed that softball out there, I'm just going to have to hit it. Which is, you know, what I've often thought of, why does this industry attract such great, amazing, quality people? And I have come up with the idea that the reason is because at our core, we all start because we want to make a better place in the world for people to come work, which is where you spend the majority of your day. And then I feel that we have a moral imperative to proliferate these spaces. Because working at home alone, not good for the loneliness epidemic. Working in isolation is not good. Working in a coffee shop where you don't speak to anybody is not good. We need to provide spaces which are set up for work, which are designed for work, where people know your name and you're not just a number. And that matters. And so I think that the reason that co-working attracts such great people and will continue to is because we care about humans.
No, I agree with you, Liz. And it's like lucky us to be in this industry. Right. I've been in this since 2001. And sometimes they're like
way longer than me.
They're like, did you maybe say 2010? I'm like, no, 2001. And I've spoken at Cushman offices where I'm working with folks and I'm talking about, you know, what was it like to go into an office? And I'll say something like, well, you know, when Lehman Brothers collapsed, and I get all these blank stares because I'm looking at everybody. I'm like, yeah, they were in high school when that happened. I'm like, all right, let me switch.
Right.
But I stick in this industry because I believe in it and I've seen it work. I mean, I've seen it work for every single Fortune 10 company. And I mean, think about everybody uses Flex. You know, they might deny it or they can't talk about it, but everybody's using it somewhere for sure and it works. So I think it's like, you know, we were the underdog years ago, you know, trying to sell to brokers to get swing space or get a lawyer to take an office or a recruiter to take an office. And here we are today where, you know, this occupiers are approaching the flex sector where it's fully integrated into their strategy. It's a go, you know, some of it is their go-to-market strategy is to use flex for a period of time until they get an understanding of the market and where the team is going and where things want to work. They don't know. So, you know, going back to like, you can only be wrong in flex for 30 days. Who wouldn't want to do this? Of course, we're biased, Liz, but when it's right, it's not right all the time. But I've seen it be right many, many times.
Well, Christine, thank you so much. I knew we were going to have a fun, exciting, interesting conversation, and I think we did. And I cannot wait to get this posted.
Thank you, Liz. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. Thank you for tuning into the Juicy Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to like and follow us for more juicy content. You can stay connected with us on social media by following us at Juicy Global. We're looking forward to having you join us next time for more insightful discussions. Until then, keep exploring the co-working world with the Juicy Podcast. Ciao.